Hello, and welcome to Manzanita Voices, where the subject is writing. If you like to hear about books published by local authors, if you're interested in becoming a writer yourself, or if you just like to read a good story, this show is for you. I'm your host, Linda Field. Today, our guest is a member of Writers Unlimited, the group founded by Monica Rose that meets in San Andreas twice a month. If you want to know more about the group, keep your pen and paper handy because we'll be giving you information later. Rachel Mikkel R.C. Jaeger may be the youngest member of Writers Unlimited, but she's already written her first book. It's the old story of Robin Hood, but it has a fascinating twist. Rachel, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
A pleasure to be here.
We'll get to your book in a minute, but first, I'd like to know a little bit about you. Where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in the Bay Area, but I moved to the Gold Rush Country to Calaveras when I was 11, and I've lived here in Mountain Ranch ever since.
How great. Living in the Bay Area and then Mountain Ranch, was the change hard?
Well, I was young enough that it was more of an adventure than a difficult change, and at this point in my life, it means that I'm comfortable living in either the city or the country, and so I can go pretty much anywhere in the world and feel at home, which is pretty fun.
That's great. Yeah, that's best of both worlds. So you went to school here in Calaveras County?
Yes, through high school.
And which school?
I went to Bret Harte High.
Oh, Bret Harte. That's right near where I live. What have you been doing since you graduated?
Well, I went to college for 4 years in Southern California at a tech school called Harvey Mudd College. It's one of the premier schools in the United States for math and science.
Oh.
Yeah. So I got my degree in computer science from there. So it's been a year since I graduated from Harvey Mudd, and in that time I decided to come home and take time to write, which is something I had thoroughly enjoyed all my life. Wasn't sure if it was a career I wanted to pursue, but decided that this was the right time in my life to really give it a shot. So I came home and just basically threw myself into writing my book. I established a website for myself, started a company, and have just been going from there.
Great. What's your company?
It's called Platypus Press. It's the company I'm going to be publishing through. It's basically just a publishing house that will publish ebooks and hopefully at some point softback and paperback, softback and hardback too.
Fabulous. And Rachel has built the website for Manzanita Writers Press, which we're going to be getting into later, and which is why you guys listening to us need to have your pen and paper handy, because we'll be giving you websites. So did you keep a journal when you were young, growing up, writing? You said you always liked to write, but did you keep a journal or a diary or just write for fun in other ways?
Well, my mom would always have me whenever we would go on vacation or do something really fun or sometimes just take a random day in our lives, she would have me write about it in little notebooks and little journals. And it's actually one of the reasons I have such a strong memory from my childhood. And so I guess that started me learning how to describe things, learning how to describe events. But I just had always enjoyed writing. My uncle used to tell me these great stories, these scary stories. We used to have a little scary story club whenever he and my cousins would come visit. And I guess those stories and just my own imagination and love of reading really spawned in me this urge to write.
Did your mom save all those things that you wrote?
I saved a lot.
Good. That's wonderful. Well, now your book that you have completed, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's finished?
It's finished.
Is it still in rewrite?
Well, I will probably be editing this thing until the minute it goes goes into publishing, but it's done.
Okay. Well, that's a real accomplishment. The book is called Robin, at least at this stage. and the title may change. And you say you're going to publish your book yourself, but if you went to other publishers, I don't know if the people out listening to us know, but if you go to a regular publisher, they don't usually allow the author to choose the title of their book or even the cover. That's all up to the publisher. But we'll call your book Robin.
Right.
Keep
and
it simple.
That's part of the reason I'm self-publishing is I like it's my book, it's my baby, and so I like to have that control over it. And so by self-publishing this, I have a cover artist I've chosen specifically for her art style. I've been able to name the book, design it in its entirety. It is truly mine.
Your creation. That's great. And there's a lot to be said for that. Now, this is the old story of Robin Hood, but Robin is not the Robin that we remember. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about that?
So it is an old story in the sense that a lot of the adventures that people are familiar with Robin Hood, the fight with Little John on the log bridge, Guy of Gisborne, the Sheriff of Nottingham, these all appear and feature prominently in my story. But the big twist is that Robin Hood is not a man. Robin is a woman.
A woman.
And this is something that has never been done before as far as I could find in literature. There are lots of stories and even a couple movies featuring Robin Hood's daughter or featuring a very strong Maid Marian. But there are no stories that have been written where Robin Hood is portrayed as a girl.
I see. So you decided to do this, to make Robin a woman, because it had never been done before. And where on earth did you get that idea?
Well, when I was little, Robin Hood was my hero. I really loved to play Robin. The whole idea of an archer who would steal from the rich and give to the poor was just very romantic in my mind, and it was very fun and adventuresome, and it was something I really loved to portray. But Robin was a guy, and I couldn't really connect with the character as deeply as I wanted to. And as I was growing up, it occurred to me that all the legends we have, all these heroes in our mythology, they're all guys, from Odysseus to King Arthur to the classical Robin Hood. Any woman in the stories, they're all playing second fiddle to these main characters, and the main characters are all guys.
Yeah, the only woman I remember in Robin Hood is Maid Marian, and I identified with her.
Yes, and she didn't even appear until a couple hundred years ago. She was a very late addition to the story.
Oh, no kidding.
I didn't
know that. Wow. So, who were you writing this book for? Are you writing for adults, or do you have a group in mind?
Well, the writing style is more geared towards young adults. And some of the issues Robin goes through, her transition from her old life as a woman and into this life as leader of an outlaw band, and sort of the acceptance she comes into, it reflects a lot of the sort of trials that teenagers go through in realizing their place in the world and finding out exactly who they need to be in light of and in spite of society's expectations of them. And so in that sense, it's kind of geared towards young adults, but I feel that my book is very available, very approachable by any reader of any age.
Well, I'm lucky enough to have heard parts of it, because you and I are in the same writing group, the Writers Unlimited, founded by Monica Rose. And so I've heard parts of Robin, and I agree. I have been very interested and enthralled by it. I think your writing is excellent.
Thank you.
And I think adults would certainly enjoy this book too. What was the most difficult thing about writing Robin?
Well, for me, dialogue is always very difficult in anything I write, because there are so many different characters and they each have their own sort of style of speaking and their own concerns. And you got to keep this in mind when writing the dialogue. You have to make sure that it fits the character who's saying it and that it fits the situation. And I like to throw in a little humor into my dialogue a lot of times. And so I have to be very cautious that it doesn't become cheesy or campy or just that it fits the scene nicely.
It's good that you think about all those things. I think that's a good lesson for people out there who are writing for themselves and wanting to produce something that they'll enjoy and have their friends enjoy later, is think about all those things, because you need to come at writing from many different directions.
Yeah, it's hard to be several people at once in your store. You got to keep everyone inside your head. It's like having a bunch of personalities inside you.
A whole crowd of people. Okay, well, we're going to be back in a little bit and hear more about Robin and Rachel Mikkel R.C. Jaeger. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Manzanita Voices, and my name is Linda Field. We are a program about writers and writing, and today we're talking with Rachel Mikkel R.C. Jaeger, author of Robin, a very unusual story about Robin Hood. Rachel, we were talking before about how you came to write this book and some of the things that you had to think about as you were writing it. Was there a development in the story that surprised you, or something that you thought would be in the book that got cut? Because I know personally as a writer, you think you're going to write something, and you sit down to write it, and the story takes off and has a life of its own. And the author sometimes, I know from my point of view, I sometimes feel as if I'm being taken for a ride. I'm not the driver. I am a passenger, and the story takes on its own life. So was there anything like that happened in your book?
Yes, there was. As a quick recap, my book Robin is basically a retelling of the traditional stories of Robin Hood from the premise that Robin Hood is a girl. And so my book takes these old stories and ties them together in a much stronger and comprehensive way, using this female Robin as the central character. And so my book took off. Well, when I conceived of the idea for Robin, I thought, okay, I know there are some ways that this can work out well. For instance, it would explain why Robin always wore a hood and how Robin could escape from the sheriff if he was looking for a guy and she could become a woman again just by doffing her hood. So I had these ideas about how this story could work, but I wasn't really sure if it would work out all the way. I was afraid that I would get halfway through my book and realize there was just this insurmountable wall that simply could not be scaled if Robin Hood was a girl. And I was very surprised and very pleased that by the end of my book, not only had everything worked out wonderfully with this female character, but it had actually worked out in many ways much better than the traditional stories had with a traditional male lead. Robin Hood being female actually explained a lot more about the traditional stories and enriched them in ways that the male Robin Hood never had.
Wow, that's really fascinating. Well, Rachel Mikkel R.C. Jaeger, let's hear you read a little bit from Robin.
I think I mentioned before that one of my considerations in writing the story was how Robin would escape from the sheriff, how she was able to disappear under his very nose. So this scene I'm going to read to you is one of those scenes where she does just that. Robin had not really expected the situation she found herself in to arise, but she had come prepared just in case. As she ran from the guards now, she corrected herself, the soldier had collected reinforcements. Robin dug into the sack at her waist with her free hand and pulled out the spare dress she had bought nearly 3 months ago. She was perhaps 30 seconds ahead of her pursuers. People turned with various imprecations to regard her as Robin darted around them, but none tried to stop her forward progress. As she neared the edge of the town, the crowd began to thin, and Robin jinked between several houses and into a small abandoned alley. Hastily, she dropped her bow and drew the shapeless dress over her head, tucking her hood underneath its neck and pulling out her hair. At the last second, she remembered she was still wearing the false eye patch and tore it off. The pounding of feet signaled the soldier's arrival. Nonchalantly, Robin stepped in front of her bow, trusting to the growing darkness and her skirts to hide the weapon.
"Where did he go?"
"He just disappeared."
"You, woman, did you see a man pass by?"
The guild hall's guard, no longer bored, demanded ever crossly. The soldier was panting heavily and clutching at a stitch in his side.
"He was dressed all in scarlet, with a patch over one eye and a bow in his hand."
"Scarlet? A man? No man has passed through here, sir," Robin said in a dazed tone, cowering away as if the guard frightened her. The soldier took in her disheveled appearance, and a look of scorn stole over his face.
"I doubt that," he mocked, but he had no time for a woman and hastened down the street, beckoning the other guards to follow him.
Robin waited until the sound of their footsteps faded away, and then picked up her longbow, checking with her fingers to see if it had come to harm when she dropped it. Relieved that it had not, she ambled off in the direction of Nottingham Gate, feeling utterly invisible in the skirts that lapped around her ankles. The gate porter peered down at her from his perch, puzzled at the sight of a woman exiting the city with a longbow in her hand.
"Me husband forgot his weapon, drunken sot. Just 'cause he finished, he thinks he can drop his things and leave me to carry on," Robin complained petulantly to him.
The man snorted.
"Get thee gone, wench. I dare say your husband will be wanting to use that."
"I'm sure he will," she replied sourly, making the porter laugh. With a smirk concealed by the darkness, Robin walked through the gates and out of Nottingham, a free woman.
So Robin has to be quite an actress, too, and really think on her feet.
Yes.
I thought it was interesting where you said that she felt invisible with the skirt swishing around her ankles, and I'm sure a lot of women did feel invisible back in those days, and sometimes in more recent times, too. Robin had a lot to contend with.
She did.
Do you write every day, Rachel?
Not every day, in that I don't sit down always and type on my keyboard or write out with my pen parts of my story or imaginings, but not a day goes by when I don't think about a story. I'm usually conceiving of some scene or trying to work out some plot point, whether I sit down and actually write it out or not.
Yeah, I hear you there. I do the same thing. Do you have a special place that you really enjoy writing, a place that you go to, or can you write pretty much anywhere?
I can write pretty much anywhere, although I do like it to be quiet, which is very nice because I live in the forest, and so it is generally very quiet there. I just wish I could write outside more because I like to write on my computer because I can write very fast there and I can make edits very, very quickly. But computer screens don't work very well in the sunlight. It's hard to see.
Somebody's going to have to come up with a solution to that problem. I think it would make a lot of people happy.
I agree.
I know I like to write often. I like to go to a restaurant and order a cup of coffee or something and just sit there writing. Or if I have to fly somewhere on a plane, I like to sit by the window with my notebook and just write away. It's fun to do things like that. Who has inspired you the most? Is there someone in your life or even someone you haven't met, a writer, someone you've read about, who has inspired you in your writing?
In my writing?
Or just in maybe just in your general life, you know, what people have been inspirations in your life?
Well, inspiring me as a person, the biggest would definitely be Jesus, because I try and mold my life according to the Bible and his teachings, and he has had the most profound influence on the person I am and the person I'm trying to become. But the greatest inspirations and influences on my writings would definitely be the authors I've read. I have read thousands and thousands of books, literally. I can remember eighth grade. We had to keep a reading chart, and I think I read 700 books that year.
Who are a couple of your favorite authors?
I really enjoy Tamora Pierce, her Tertal series. It's this fantasy series about these women who become knights and who become just these diplomats and these really important, powerful women who are still quirky and they're funny and they're adventurous. And it's really inspirational to read them, and
It's fun. It reminds you that you can be a woman and be strong and not have to lose anything that makes you a woman. And so I really enjoy reading her works. I enjoy Anne McCaffrey and J.K. Rowling and authors like them because they really draw you into their story. They make you care about their characters and their worlds, and they're the kind of authors I would like to be.
That's great. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Manzanita Voices. I'm Linda Field. We're talking about writers and writing, and today we're speaking with author Rachel McKell, R.C. Jaeger. You're a member of a writing group. I know that because you and I are in the same group.
We are.
It's called Writers Unlimited. It meets two Mondays a month, the second Monday and the fourth Monday of every month at 6:30 at the Arts Council on Main Street in San Andreas. And we're always looking for new members. You joined the writers group, what, about a year ago?
I think in January.
Okay, and everybody in that group except you has at least got a decade or two on you in age. Was it kind of intimidating to join this group with all these old fogies around?
Well, the part that was intimidating wasn't being around these people who had a few years on me. It was being around all these experienced authors who many have had published at least one, if not more, books, and knowing that to them I looked like a very, very young, unpublished, untried authoress. And so that was the intimidating part, was being around all these people who had such great experience and such great writing talent.
Well, that's all good to hear. I'm glad that that you enjoy being in the group, and you certainly have been a wonderful addition to our gatherings. Mm-hmm. We're going to break now. This is Manzanita Voices. I'm Linda Field, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with more from Rachel McKell, R.C. Jaeger. You're listening to Manzanita Voices, a show about writers and writing. My name is Linda Field, and today we're talking with author Rachel McKell, R.C. Jaeger. Rachel has written a very surprising and unusual book about the old story of Robin Hood, where Robin is a woman. And Rachel, we're going to have you read a little bit more from your book right now.
The party was everything Robin feared it would be. Minstrels played gaily from the musician's balcony at the back of the room, their music barely audible over the heavy chatter. Smoke rose from thick tallow candles and the wide hearth fire, casting a dark blue tinge across the whole assembly. Four trestle tables spanned the front half of the hall, their contents disappearing into the greedy stomachs of the guests as quickly as the servants could replace them. The second half of the hall was filled with dancers. Robin hung back in the shadows, hoping to avoid notice. Dara, however, had a different intention for her and constantly appeared at Robin's side, pushing her into the candlelight and, more often than not, into a man. Whenever this happened, propriety dictated the man asked the red-faced girl to dance, some of them placing their requests with more eloquence than others. "Ah, Robin, Robin, you're still growing. Soon no bed will hold you, and who will have you then?" Lord Greneth cackled merrily, already drunk. He grabbed Robin and pulled her onto the rush-strewn floor. "Dance with me." For once in her life, Robin was glad of her height, because it meant she could breathe the fresh air over Lord Greneth's head rather than his wine-drenched breath. Her other dance partners were not much better. They were short and in general paunchy. All were drunk. "I cannot bear much more of this," she confided to Will as he stole her away for an estampier. "You are doing very well," Will reassured her as he led her through the gentle dance. It was the only restful 10 minutes she had all evening. When the song ended, Robin saw an unfamiliar man with squinty eyes catch her gaze. He started towards her. "Stay with me, please," she begged her cousin. Will had seen the man, too, and his eyes were full of pity. "I cannot," he said. He sounded truly regretful. "I promised your sister the next dance." "Marion will understand," Robin said, but she let him go. "Lady Robin," a deep voice breathed behind her, and she reluctantly turned to face the speaker. He was a tall man, almost as tall as she was, with a broad build and thick shoulders. His face was strong, with high cheekbones and a cleaved chin. He was not young, but neither was he old. She might have found him handsome, if not for his eyes. They were small and black, with a sharp gleam that made the hairs on the back of her neck start to prickle. Robin had to fight down the urge to flee from that lupine stare. "Stop it," she scolded herself. "You do not even know him." "Lady Robin," the man repeated, grinning slightly. "Sir," she began, casting around her mind for an identity. "Philip, just Philip." Robin raised an eyebrow skeptically. Her father never invited commoners to his feasts. Nevertheless, she returned his smile politely. "Shall we?" he asked, extending his hand. His palm as he took hers was clammy. The music was another estampier. Robin wished it was a ductia or some such dance that did not require her to stand so near her partner. She moved a step away. He closed the gap between them. The crowd jostled behind her. He pulled her closer. His breath was hot and smelled strongly of brown October. She tried to step away, but his arms trapped her. The wolf gleam was back in his eyes. "What do you think you are doing?" she hissed, surprising herself with the anger in her voice. Strangely, her ire seemed to please him. "What does it look like I am doing?" he asked, and without further warning, kissed her squarely on the mouth. Robin's eyes went wide, but for a moment she was too stunned to react. His lips, loose and wet, suffocated any protest. Gathering her senses, Robin tried to pull away, but the man held her tightly against his body. In desperation, she reached out and snatched at his hair, pulling his head back with a snap. Philip let her go, his face contorting with fury. For a moment, she thought he would strike her. Then a change spread over his features, and to Robin's astonishment, the fury in his eyes altered to a sort of cunning humor. She followed his gaze over her shoulder and saw her father watching them from across the room, an amused smile on his face. It was the last straw. Her face red with humiliation and rage, Robin fled the room as calmly as she could, her head held high. Though she did not look back, she knew that Philip was laughing.
So this Philip is a very unsavory character, and she has very bad feelings about him. I have a feeling that he has a rather important position in this story.
He does. For those of you who don't know, this is from the first chapter of my book, and it's intended to help illustrate the sort of approach society has towards women and towards Robin at this period in time, and part of the reason why Robin sort of rebels against her position in society.
Right. By the way, my name is Linda Field. You're listening to Manzanita Voices. We're talking with author Rachel McKell R.C. Jager about her book, Robin. And Robin, this is Robin Hood, by the way, and Robin is, I get the picture that she's well-born. She's born into a family that has some money and position in the community.
Correct.
And she's a very tall young lady.
Yeah, she takes after her father.
Okay, which is one reason why she's able later to disguise herself as Robin Hood and be taken for a man. And Philip, this character that she has just had this very unpleasant dance with, is going to figure in the story and be important. You did a lot of research. I heard the names of a couple of dances in there. One a slow type of dance and the other a faster one. What are the names of those dances?
It's the estampier and the ductia.
Huh.
Actually, there isn't a lot known about the dances of that period. These are the two dances that are actually very among the most well-known. And they can be slow dances or fast dances. It has more to do with the type of tempo and the type of step that belong to the dance than the actual pacing. But the more well-known dances, such as the quadrille or the saraband, those didn't come into prominence until the 16th century or so, which is a couple centuries after the Robin Hood story takes place.
So you have been doing a lot of research.
I have.
That's fascinating. We're going to hear more from the story of Robin in a little while, but I do want to remind our listeners to have your pens and papers handy, because we're going to be also telling you about websites that you can go to learn more about Rachel, to learn more about Manzanita Writers Press and Writers Unlimited. And if you're interested in writing at all, to learn more about how you can get involved in the writing community. It's really wonderful to be in the company of writers, and we hope that you'll come and join us. Again, my name is Linda Field. This is Manzanita Voices, and we're talking with Rachel Mikhail R.C. Jaeger. Rachel, you when you went to college, you majored in computer science.
Correct.
And so we're very lucky to have you, especially since you have built our website. Could you please tell us about it?
So the Manzanita Writers Press website is located at www.manzapress.com. That's www.manzapress.com. And I'll repeat that later for any of you who don't have a pen and paper handy just yet. But this Writers Press website features a list of upcoming events, of upcoming readings or author signings. It has a list of the books offered by Manzanita Press or the writers in Writers Unlimited, which is the group that meets in San Andreas every 2 weeks to sort of read their stories before they're published. It's a group of local authors in the Gold Rush country. And so the website features their works. It has a couple excerpts from some of their books, a couple summaries. It has a list of the sponsors who so generously help support Manzanita Writers Press, which is an affiliate of the Calaveras Arts Council. It's a completely nonprofit organization. So the website features all this information. It's a brilliant resource if you're looking for information about writers in the Gold Rush country.
And people who go to that website will also be able to hear this program broadcast, as long as other, as well as other Manzanita Voices programs, so that they can meet the authors personally, sort of on the radio, before they come and meet them in person at our events.
Correct. And once again, that website is www.manzapress.com. That's www.manzapress.com.
And then you have your own website, correct?
I do.
Okay, tell us about that.
So my website, basically it's a combination website and blog. I go on there and I write articles regarding computer science, computers, or writing, and also personal articles relating to me or to things I read in the newspaper. So that can be found on my blog. My website is www.rmrcjaeger.com. So that's www.rmarcjaeger.com. And so in addition to my blog, which for those of you who aren't familiar with the term, is basically a blog is a collection of mini articles written by the same person generally. And so my website features my blog, and it also features a list of my past literary works as well as my upcoming books. I currently have a teaser trailer on it for my book Robin, which you just heard a selection of. It features a little background about me, and in the future I hope there will be videos and radio interviews on there from not just me but from other authors in the Gold Rush area and from around the nation as well.
That's super. You're listening to Manzanita Voices. This is Linda Field, and we've been talking with author Rachel Mikhail R.C. Jaeger, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back with Manzanita Voices, a program about writers and writing. My name is Linda Field, and we're talking with Rachel Mikhail R.C. Jaeger. Rachel, you have not only written your historical fiction novel, Robin, about Robin Hood, but you also have a short story available right now that people can buy. Would you tell about that?
So its title is A Stepmother's Story, The True Tale of Cinderella. It's the first in what I hope to become a series of short stories. And basically it's a retelling of Cinderella from the stepmother's point of view. Completely twists the story around. There's no magic in this story,
but it explains how the events could have been conceived as magical or misinterpreted to be that way, as explained by the stepmother. I like, my fascination when I write is to take stories that people love, that people have heard so many times in their life, and twist it in ways that they have just never thought of before. And so this story, as well as my Robin Hood book, does that.
And where can people find this story?
It's currently available on Amazon Kindle and on Barnes & Noble Nook for 99 cents. It's also available on my website, www.rmarcejaeger.com. That's www.rmarcejaeger.com. And it's also 99 cents on my website.
Okay. Well, that's good. I think people will want to go there. And I know there are a lot of parents out there who really monitor their children's activities on the computer, which we all hope they're doing. And how comfortable can parents be to be sending their kids to your website?
They can be very comfortable. I have the philosophy. It was My parents instilled it in me when I grew up. The college I went to helped reinforce it, that basically a person is responsible for their impact on society and what they say and what they do. And so my stories that I publish, the content I try and put on my website, I try and make them as clean and available for everyone as I possibly can. You won't find profanity in my stories or in my blog posts. I don't do anything that's even remotely sexually explicit in my writing, because I believe a kid should be able to read this and be comfortable with it. Sometimes I will throw in a few innuendos to some of my books because I want to be able to reach that more adult audience who will grasp those, that sort of flavor. But I do it in such a way that it would just completely fly over the head of a child, that they would read it in the linear fashion it is written and they wouldn't see the subtleties to it. And I firmly believe that's important, that children should be able to retain their innocence for as long as possible. And so I strive to do that with all my writing.
That's great. That's wonderful to hear. Rachel, is there anything else that you... We're going to hear more from your book. And we're going to finish the segment out with that. But is there anything else that you wanted to bring up that I may have overlooked?
You can visit my website to learn more about me if you would like. There are games and activities on there, and more will be coming. I also keep a blog that has articles regarding computers and writing and just personal events in my life, as well as responses to current news topics. And so there's a wide array of activities that you can go visit and enjoy, and more will be coming. And so you can visit that on my website, which is rmarcejaeger.com. I invite you all to come visit me there and to send me a little note, because I love getting email, and it's like the high point of my day when one of my readers sends me a message.
Oh, I can imagine it is. And I know you'd love to hear from the listeners as to whether or not they enjoyed the show today.
Oh, please.
It's always great to get feedback, folks. Rachel, let's finish out this program with more from Robin. Would you set up this segment of the story, please? Robin, of course, this is Robin Hood, but Robin Hood is a woman.
Right, and at this point, the section I'm going to read is actually my rendition of that classical tournament the sheriff holds to try and ensnare Robin Hood, who he believes is a guy. Robin, at this point, is disguised as a man, and she is competing in this tournament for a variety of reasons, which you'll have to read my book to find out. But at this point, the preliminaries of the tournament have gone by, and she is in the archer's tent sort of assessing her competitors before the end of the tournament. And she has just finished assessing some of them, and she comes to a final man. The last man stood apart from the others with a quiet aloofness. Seeing him so unexpectedly made Robin drop her bow, her muscles suddenly weak. Hastily she scooped it back up, blushing within the folds of her scarlet hood as the others turned to look. "What is he doing here?" Robin despaired. Lords did not compete against peasants. He himself had said that it gave peasants the wrong idea. Egad, what if he recognized her? Hastily she double-checked her hood. Robin did not know the reason her father was there. If she had, her face would have been burning with shame, not just embarrassment. A solid gold arrow was a lucrative prize for a man whose coffers had grown tight of late. But that was what happened when a daughter ran off before her wedding, and her father was left to pay the forfeit. Thank goodness the sheriff still wanted an alliance, or else he would have had to pay even more than the current penalty. Soon the whole rotten deal would be closed. And who will be left for me then? Lord Locksley wondered, oblivious to the stare of the Scarlet Archer. The trumpet sounded then, interrupting his thoughts and calling them all back to the range. Robin was the first out the door. As the 10 hopefuls lined themselves up on the field, she made certain to position herself as far from her father as she could. The sheriff sat on his gilded chair upon the dais, appearing far more intent than he had thus far today. Even from across the field, Robin could see his frown of displeasure as the sheriff realized that none of the 10 hopefuls wore the hoped-for Lincoln green. He bent his head towards the herald on his right. Whatever the man said, the sheriff's frown only deepened. "You will get 2 arrows each," the herald at their end was instructing. "The finalists will get 3. Closest to the center wins." The other competitors strung their bows as they listened, their faces set. Even the blue-clad yeomen had calmed down enough to look poised. Robin attempted to match their expressions as she strung her longbow. She had to try twice. The first time, her fingers, suddenly nervous, slipped. During the earlier rounds, the crowd had booed and cheered for their favorites, hooting wildly at the foul shots and hurrahing a shaft well-aimed. Now they were silent, eerily so. The only sound was the twang of strings as the archers took their shots one by one, and the distant thumps as their arrows struck the targets. 20 twangs and 20 thumps later, the spectators on both sides of the range broke their silence with an enormous roar of approval. These were surely 10 of the finest archers in all of England. At 250 paces, all 10 men had still managed to lodge their arrows within the black ring of the butt. What a shame that only 3 could move on. Robin knew she had shot well, but was it good enough? From this distance, all the arrows appeared to cluster together in one clump. She glanced at her father, waiting calmly at the left end of the line. What right did she have to compete like this, to think of winning against archers such as this? She a mere girl. She should leave now before the herald announced her defeat, shaming her in front of her men. Surely they would guess when she failed that she was not what she appeared to be. They would desert her. A runner was approaching with the winning 3 arrows. Robin accepted hers from his hand, slightly dazed. The other competitors were falling back, their role in the tournament finished. Rather than leave the range, they lingered behind the finalists, waiting to see who would take home the golden arrow. Robin glanced at the other 2 finalists left on the range. Gilbert of the Red Cap was there, looking very smug. The other man was her father. Once again, Robin was 12, preparing to do battle with her father for the right to learn the archer's art. As with that time, she would shoot well. As with that time, she would lose. Robin's hands were damp. She wiped them nervously on her skirts. Only, she realized suddenly, she was not wearing a skirt, but a tunic and hose. And she was not 12 anymore. But could clothes and 7 years' increase really make a difference? Cheers told her that Gilbert had already shot the first of his 3 arrows. Robin could dimly see it 300 paces away, quivering from its position in the clout. Aware of her father's eyes on her, Robin hurried to shoot and in her haste misjudged the wind. Her shaft landed a finger's breadth further away from the center than Gilbert's arrow. Cursing herself for her clumsiness, she watched as her father methodically drew back his bow. His arrow pierced the white core exactly opposite the red cap's shaft.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there at a moment of high suspense. Thank you, Rachel. It's been wonderful having you as a guest today on the show.
It's been wonderful to be here talking with all of you.
It's great. We look forward to your success, to the coming out of your book, which should be out in the next few months.
Correct. Hopefully by mid-July, if not sooner.
Fabulous. You'll know on the website on our www.manzapress.com website, we'll announce it when Rachel's book comes out. Please go to that website today if you can, and check out the whole website, and also look for email addresses if you'd like to contact one of us, either Monica Rose, who is the one who originated this whole thing, or myself, or Rachel, or anybody else that you see on that list. Send us an email. Let us know how you're liking the show. We hope that you're appreciating it and you're getting something from it. And I think Rachel wants to say one more thing.
Oh, just Linda inspired me that if you are interested in learning more about the Robin Hood story that I have written or being notified of its release, you can go to my website and contact me and subscribe to my email list, which does not get sent out to anyone else. It's completely private, but it will allow me to notify you of my upcoming book releases. And so my website is www.rmarcejaeger.com. Again, that's rmarcejaeger.com. And just contact me there, and I will notify you whenever my book is released.
Great, or with any other news that you might have. Thank you so much for being our guest. It's been great fun. This is Linda Field. You're listening to Manzanita Voices. We'll see you again. Have a nice week.
You've been listening to Manzanita Voices, a production of the Manzanita Writers Press, an affiliate of the Calaveras County Arts Council.